KBCS is powered by listeners just like you. Support this and other KBCS stories, interviews, and highlights by donating at our website, kbcs.fm.
KBCS HD1, Bellevue, Seattle, Tacoma, a broadcasting service of Bellevue College since 1973. I'm Lucy Berginski. Reverend A.C. Churchill is the executive director at Earth Ministry Washington Interfaith Power and Light. The ministry helps religious communities advocate for strong environmental policies and provides strategic guidance to religious communities working towards environmental justice. Churchill talks about how they came into the world of interfaith environmental advocacy and lessons they've learned through their work.
For me, the connection between working for environmental justice and my faith is this call to care for all of creation and to work towards healing and wholeness of anything that causes harm. The call for caring for the natural world and the creatures of the natural world are deeply ingrained in many spiritual traditions. Now, I happen to come from a mainline Christian tradition, but it's in many traditions. And so how we are in relationship with each other, in relationship with the earth, is something that feels like and is representative in many spiritualities. I really got involved when I started in this particular position as the executive director. I had primarily worked as a pastor, served congregations, but for a long time had a deep call to do community organizing within faith communities, particularly around anti-racism. When I started looking for my next call, as we talk about it as a clergy, I wanted to be involved with a faith-rooted organization. Interfaith was what I was hoping for, but I really wanted somewhere where we could do the deep work of community organizing. I wasn't expecting that it would be in environmental justice. I was primarily thinking more around anti-racism or disability justice and neurodiversity. But what I loved about Earth Ministry, Washington Interfaith Power and Light, was this intentional move to celebrate environmental conservation, the work that had been done in environmental stewardship and environmental conservation, but work to expand it to include in the environmental justice piece of, how do we care for communities that have been historically harmed? How do we work to stop the harm that is continuing to be put in to poor communities, Black and brown communities, poor white communities, just because they can't afford to send the harmful projects other places, whereas wealthier communities have that luxury? To me, it was this intersection of wanting to work for not just better policies and practices, but a vision of a healthier world that really brought me into this work. When I started this position, I thought, I'm not involved in the environmental world. I don't talk about carbon or methane, or I don't talk about these big concepts. And as I've gone along, I've just been reminded, oh no, I am connected. I think back to my own childhood of walking through the woods. I grew up in Alabama, and there was a set of woods behind my house. I would go out and I'd go out and play, and reminded of times when I'd go for hikes. And sometimes in environmental work feels like there are these barriers of you can only be an environmentalist when you hit this mark of knowledge about science or knowledge about the data. And instead to say, I can care for the earth and care for the natural world around me, even if I don't know all of those things. Part that I've learned is this part has always been here. Loving trees and loving the water and loving creatures and the animals. There's this piece that says, maybe I judged too quickly that I wasn't already caring for the earth. I have been in many different ways. It didn't look like environmental policy advocacy until getting into this position, but it has been there for a while. One of the things that's been really fascinating to learn is about the ways in which sometimes we seem like we are so far apart from one another. One of the main areas that we work in as an organization is around salmon, river, and orca recovery. And what that looks like for us is that we do a lot of following the lead of indigenous communities, especially around the fight to restore the Lower Snake River to a free-flowing river and to remove the dams. But it's been interesting in listening to all of the individuals and the communities that would be impacted. And sometimes there is this like call to say like, well, we have to remove the dams at any cost. But in the process, we don't actually talk to other people who are living along the river, like people in Eastern Washington, who just view it as, well, this is just Western Washington coming in and telling us what we should do. And so I find it interesting that at the core, we hold similar values. There's a concern in Eastern Washington about how do we care for our families? How do we transition away from the transportation that we currently have set up, which is barges, to something else that I would still be able to care for my family, especially if you're a farmer or you work in agriculture. If I could slow down in the midst of all the information that's coming across and start at a place of like curiosity and wondering of like, what is this person before me, especially if somebody who has differences in beliefs, like how different are we? And how are we trying to meet our needs? How can we be respectful and listen to the concerns of the people that are impacted by the big issues that we're talking about and stop kind of rushing to these judgment pieces about like, oh, well, they're obviously going to be against dam removal because they're in Eastern Washington, or they're obviously going to be in support of it because they're in Western Washington. Those aren't necessarily true. But going back to that like commonality piece has really been a beautiful lesson to learn. You know, you're not so different than I am. And I think you don't stop there. You don't stop at the like, well, we have these commonalities, so we should not have these hard conversations. It's we have these commonalities and we may disagree on how to move them forward. It's easier to have those differences of conversation when you recognize the humanity in someone else. Getting into advocacy, the first bit of advice is you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an expert in all of these things. One of the things that I try to encourage is people knowing your why, knowing why you do this work, what's important about it for you. Is it because it connects to your own spiritual teachings, or is it because you had a memory of yourself with someone you loved going out, you know, and going fishing or being on the water? Why is this work important to you? That why will be really impactful when you share that with those who are making the policies. I think the other piece to share is for youth and youth-led and young adult-led movements is recognizing that maybe some of these policymakers or these areas may not feel like you belong, but you do, because they're already making decisions about your life, my life, and the ways in which things impact our lives. And so it's important that they hear from us. Be bold enough to say, and this is what we need you to do. Then I'd also offer that you don't have to do it alone. So much of this work feels so overwhelming because it is so large. There are organizations who do a lot of this good work. And so don't feel like you have to do it by yourself. Partner up with others who are doing this great work in those times when it is more challenging.
That was Reverend A.C. Churchill, the Executive Director at Earth Ministry Washington Interfaith Power and Light, on the work they do as an interfaith environmental justice advocate. For more information on this organization, you can visit our blog post for this story at kbcs.fm. You are listening to KBCS 91.3, and I'm Lucy Braginski.